discussing the Gerit HaRamban. We discussed last week the idea of never losing one's temper, which is very hard to do. We all have buttons, you press the wrong button and the guy blows up, explodes. Because we're exhausted, we're drained, we're tense, you know, rat race. This is the rat race. Northeast is the worst. Northeast is the worst in terms of pressure and tension and stress. Sometimes a person is disappointed, aggravated, shocked, confused, terrified. The whole world seems to be crashing down on one's head. And Ramban says, calm down. Don't lose your temper. Don't lose your temper. React slowly, deliberately, and speak gently. And that's what he says. Tidnahek tamid aber kol dvarecha benachat. A person should be used to speaking gently all the time. It's so hard. Never raise one voice. Never raise one's voice. And accustom oneself to the point where whatever happens, you'll never raise your voice. That's how a person gets into this minhag. Never raising one's voice. To every person, anytime. Every person, anytime. Speak gently. Never raise one's voice. Protect your own peace of mind. That's very important. We don't realize. We do more damage to ourselves. Person gets angry, they're doing more damage to themselves, spiritually especially. They're ripping up their souls. In their anger, they rip their souls. Terrible, terrible. You don't really realize. You smash your own soul. You smash your own soul. It's a disaster. It's a disaster. So a person's got to be very careful to protect your own serenity. It's the most precious possession is your mind, your state of mind. If someone else can control your state of mind, that means you're not in control. If someone else can aggravate you, that means you're not in control. That means he just stole your peace of mind. He ruined your peace of mind. So I'm angry, I can't sleep at night. The other guy doesn't care. He made me angry, he doesn't care. He's sleeping peacefully. I'm getting angry. I bear a grudge, I can't sleep at night. He can sleep very well. So what am I doing to myself? The first priority is look after your peace of mind. Look after your own peace of mind. The Zohar says, three people are beloved by God. Number one, one who does not lose control of their temper. She loves a person who can control their temper. So hard to do. So a person says, you know what, I don't have a bad temper. All I do is lose it once a year. But you know what, some people can really trigger my temper, you know. Once a year. He's trying hard. He's trying very hard to trigger me. So it's important not to lose one's temper. Ever. Ever. It's a long time. Ever is a very long time. We're going to talk about the Rambam. Also, the Rambam says not to lose. It's one of the two things we talked about in Shabbat. The person's going to keep on the extreme. One is anger. The extreme of never losing anger. However, Rambam says you're allowed to show anger in certain situations, but not to lose it. That means the person's going to be a very good actor. It's very hard. When you're acting angry, it's usually very close to losing it. The teacher, a parent, sometimes you've got to show anger without really losing control. So the key is not to lose control. We're going to see the Gemara says, a person loses control is as if they worshipped idolatry. A person loses control, it means, at that moment, I'm not thinking of God. God is not in my mind right now. I believe I am in control. So a person loses control. And they think, you know, it's amazing. When you get angry, you're really on a high. A person gets really high. I am the boss now. Everyone has to do what I think, you know, temporarily. The guy's crazy, basically. Off his rocker. He's angry. He's in a fit of anger. A fit of anger is he's on a power trip. I am the greatest. Everyone has to listen to me. And I, you know, it's me. So Hashem loves a person who controls their temper. Number two is a person who doesn't become drunk. And number three is a person who does not demand their full rights all the time. You owe me, and you owe me, and you owe me, you owe me. I want everything. All the last hair you owe me, and that's the last dollar you owe me. Right? So a person says, you know what? Okay, we'll be even. Just give me that amount, and we'll be even. I'm ready to settle. Hashem loves a person who's ready to settle. The trouble is today, you know, marriage. We see today in marriage. The person says, she didn't do this for me, she didn't do this for me, she didn't do this for me. And she says, he didn't do this for me. She has a whole list. He didn't do this for me, he didn't do this. So let's settle. Let's come to some kind of arbitration, an agreement. And you forgive me and I forgive you. That's how it works in marriage. If you don't know how to forgive each other, it's going to be over very soon. You have to forgive and forget. It's hard to forget. It's easy to forgive, but it's hard to forget. You know, the joke is the guy goes to the psychologist, they go marital counseling, says, you know, my wife, she sometimes gets historical. So what historical? You mean hysterical? She says, no, historical. She said, I did this 25 years ago, I did this 30 years ago. She remembers. So it's easy to forgive, but never to forget. They say they forgive, but it's at the back of their mind. It's so Hashem loves someone who forgives and is easygoing. It's very important to get someone who's very easygoing. Hard to find. Because people are easygoing. That's why West Coast is much better. They're much more easygoing. East Coast, pressures here, tension. People want to eat each other up. Right? So a person who guards themselves against giving into anger, avoids any arguments, merits, their home is compared to a temple. If you don't fight at home with your wife or your husband, your home is like a Beit HaMikdash. Home is like a temple. Why? Because Hashem is living with you. The Shekhinah's presence is there. Once there's a fight, Shekhinah leaves. We know the famous thing, Aleph Yud Shin. Ish, Aleph Shin Hei, Isha. Yud K is in Esh. You take the Yud K out of the Isha Isha, you take God out, there's Esh, there's fire. If there's fire, God goes. The fire of temper, anger. Hashem leaves the presence of the house. With Hashem's presence, it's like a holy abode. It's a holy abode. So when a person comes home, they got to leave their temper outside. It's so hard sometimes. It's so hard sometimes. We're going to see the consequences of a person with a bad temper going home. Scares his wife. And shouts and screams every little thing. It's very hard not to. It's very hard to scream. It's very hard not to scream. A person's got to learn how not to scream. A person's got to stay calm and serene all the time. And it's very easy to say. Very hard to do. It's very hard to do. So peace of mind is a key to spiritual growth. Serenity is a trademark of a spiritual person. A person always serene. I'm a witness. I saw Rabbi Kaduri. I saw Rav Kaduri. He was a big Kabbalist, Rav Kaduri. I was happy to be in his house. And his son was talking about people who are acting like Kabbalists. They're taking money and down the street. This guy is, so listen, telling his father. His father's a top Kabbalist. They dress up like you and people are giving them money and his son is getting excited. You know, it's not right. Da, 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 da. He starts screaming. Oh, okay. Calm as a cucumber. He was laughing. Didn't affect him one bit. So. Not a bit affected. And that's a person got to be, have learned how to have equanimity. What is equanimity? To be stoic. Not to react. However, Rambam says, it's not good to be like a stone. I'm saying, the ideal is, you don't feel anything inside. You may have to react to teach. That's what Rambam was saying. You have to react to teach.
The stoic is like a stone, and equanimity is calmness.
Okay, both. So one is equanimity. That's the lower level. The higher level is stoic completely. You don't feel it. Why? Because my ego is not here. I only feel it if it affects Hashem. If it doesn't affect Hashem, I don't feel it. Who am I? Right? What does Avraham Avinu say? Anochi afar ve'efer. I am dust and ashes. Right? What does David HaMelech say? I'm ani rima v'tola. I'm a worm. What does Moshe and Aaron say? Ve'nachnu ma. What are we? Now it's interesting, he doesn't leave out, he leaves out the Aleph. V'nachnuma. What's nachnuma? Where's the Aleph? Anachnu it should be. What's nach? It says, nachnu without the Aleph, without God, we're nothing. Zero. So without God, we're nothing. So it didn't affect us. Who are we? The Jewish people are complaining. There's no water, there's no this, no this. Nachnuma, what are we? We're zeros. You want to complain? Talk to Hashem. Talk. Who are we? So a person's got to make calm and think, you know, who am I? I'm dust and ashes. Can you imagine? A person's in a tense situation, everyone's screaming at them, and he's thinking to himself, why? It's very hard to calm yourself down. So one of the techniques is, who am I? What am I? I'm a zero, dust and ashes. You know, I went to a cemetery yesterday, and you know, so the Gemara says in Ta'anit, in fast days, including Shavuot, Sabbath, Tammuz, the Gemara says, it's good to go to the cemetery. So the Gemara says, why? There's two reasons. Machloket in the Gemara. Why do you go to the cemetery? One opinion says, so that the dead people will defend us. You go to the cemetery. The other reason is, some person will remember that they're humble. Right? To be humble, with dust, really, literally dust and ashes. What difference does it make between the two answers? The answer is, can you go to a non-Jewish cemetery? So if you think, just thinking dust and ashes, go to a non-Jewish cemetery. My problem is today, you have all these icons in the non-Jewish cemetery, so you can't really go there. Crosses and stuff, you can't. But it's interesting to remember your dust and ashes, so you go to the cemetery. The trouble is, even when you go to the cemetery, it's hard to think of that. Because the other guys are dead and I'm alive. I'm telling you, it's very hard. Go to the cemetery, and it's hard to penetrate. You know, it's not me dying, it's someone else dying, someone else I'm burying, it's not me, it's not going to happen to me. We're human beings, but that's how we think. It's not going to happen to me. It never happened to me, right? Probably not. Probably not.
So what happens when you're a Kohen, so you have to think of something else?
Yeah, a Kohen, well, he still goes for relatives, close relatives, 6-7 relatives. So it's important to stay calm, not let it affect you, not let it affect you. And a person has trust in Hashem, it's always calm, right? It's very hard. A person has a rock firm. David HaMelech says, Hashem Tzuri, you are my rock. Hashem is my rock. If you have a rock does not budge. For a person to be like a rock, not budge, nothing's going to flap them. Unflappable. You know, it's interesting, if you're in an army situation, you got to learn how to be calm and all pressures around you. Because you make a decision based on anger, based on emotion, probably the wrong decision. It's got to be a very calm, calculated move. You make a move on emotion, finish, gone. Gone with the wind. So it's very important to stay calm in all situations and handle the situation. If you don't have to stay calm, just don't make a decision. Like they tell you when you go for surgery, they tell you don't make decisions after you get the gas, you know, they put you out. Don't make decisions for 24 hours. Same thing. If you're on a high, angry, don't make decisions. 24 hours. So a person has to stay calm. How do you stay calm? And the answer is faith. Faith. There's a beautiful pasuk in Psalm 55. Gol el Hashem yihavcha. Put all your burdens in God. Hu yichalchalecha. He will carry you. He will sustain you. Put all your burdens on God. He will sustain you. And the Chofetz Chaim is a beautiful analogy. He said, listen, he said, you remember that good old days you could go hitchhiking? Remember those days? You go across the world hitchhiking. You put your thumb out, you're hitchhiking. Until today, you got crazy. You can't. You don't know who's going to pick you up. Some lunatic somewhere will pick you up. You don't know what's going to happen. But the good old days, you go hitchhiking. People go around the world hitchhiking. Take the hand out. Get a ride. Where are you going? We'll take you. Blah, blah. So the guy goes hitchhiking. And he has a heavy backpack. And he's sitting in the car. Guy says, take off your backpack, make yourself comfortable. So no, he says, it's enough you're carrying me, I don't want you to carry my backpack as well. Guy said, listen, I'm carrying you in the backpack. So the guy says to God, don't worry, he says, I'm worrying myself. Hashem says, why are you worrying? Take it easy. I'm carrying you anyway. I'm carrying you and your burdens. Why do you have to worry? It's so hard not to worry. It's so hard. So what do we have to worry about? We have to worry about what we can do. You got to make sure that whatever, you keep your job. You got to go on time, come back on time, work as hard as you can. The rest is in God's hand. So there's no point worrying more than that. Whatever you can do, whatever in your hands, you do. That's what you're worried about. Whatever's not in your hand, there's no point in worrying. It's not going to help you. It's not going to help you to worry. It's interesting, I was seeing yesterday the Panamanians. You know the Panamanians, they lost 6-1 to the British in the football last yesterday. American, British football. And the World Cup, right? They lost 6-1, and they're celebrating. Because they're celebrating more than the British. Because the British are stiff upper lip. They don't know how to celebrate. And the Panamanians living in like, we scored one goal. The whole country is celebrating. They scored a goal in the World Cup. They haven't been in the World Cup before. It's like a big thing for them. But they know how to celebrate. They know how to be happy. We don't know how to be happy. It's a very different culture. So obviously they're happy about the wrong things. I'm just saying. But the idea of being happy, at least they're happy people. They're happy people. So it's good to be a happy person. It means the person's not worrying and everything's, you know, it's God's hands. Everything's God's hands. So a person feels overwhelmed by the weight of responsibilities. That means they're not, their emunah is not 100%. Emunah is 100%. An anxious person has to share their problems with Hashem. So faith can make a forbidding world less forbidding. I had a guy to... This guy's probably the biggest pessimist in the shul. I can't tell you any names. The biggest pessimist in the shul. He was constantly, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? So it's going to be good. I know Mashiach's going to come. It's going to be good. So what about the meantime? Well, the meantime, I don't know about. So today, so this week I was walking past him. He was talking to someone. I'm going, and he's going. Pessimist. What can you do? I don't know. What can you do? He's right. He's right. If you look at all the facts around us, there's no way Jews can survive. There's no way Israel can survive. Look at all the infighting in Israel. That's what he's talking about. Infighting, and they don't get along. And da, 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 da. He's right. But if you believe in God, it's that way. If you believe in God, you can be optimistic. because the person believes in God, it's going to get better. So there's a big difference in how a person lives. Are you living an optimistic life, or are you living a very pessimistic life? And the trouble is, what killed the Jews is pessimism. Why do people run away from Judaism? Because they're pessimists. There's no way I can survive. There's no way my children can survive as a Jew. So I'm going to be pessimist, and therefore I'm going to tell them not to act like Jews. Assimilate. There's no way Jews can survive. Pessimist. The optimist says we can't survive because we believe in God. God can help us to survive, and you see it. The people who believe in God are surviving more than people who are not surviving. Look at the statistics. They're having more children, and eventually, who's going to win? So we have to try and stay calm and use the power of faith. We have to stay calm. This is a very important line over here. A wise person relies on the force of their arguments and the merit of their logic. They don't have to scream. If your logic is sound, you don't have to scream to make a point. You can't. No one can beat you. They can scream as much as they want. But you are speaking sense and you are speaking logically. So as long as you're logical and rational, you win. It doesn't matter who's screaming louder. So it's important. Now we know, if you have a choice of who to choose as a leader, you choose a person who screams and shouts and lunatic, or you choose, hopefully have free elections, I don't know. A lunatic, who's off his rocker. In Turkey, they choose the lunatic, okay. But he's a genius, that guy. He's a whiz, that guy. He's a rip-off artist. Okay, so gentle speak. Gentle speech, he says, protects a person from anger. Gentle speech protects a person from anger. We know in Pirkei Avot, it says there are four different levels of anger, right? Let's go through them very, very quickly. So the highest level, the worst level, is quick to lose his temper and slow to pacify. Every 2 seconds, lose his temper. Every 2 seconds, lose his temper. And then you try and pacify the guy. No, I'm not going to forgive you. He's going to bear a grudge the whole of his life. Gosh, help us. Worst category. You want to keep away from these kind of people. Why? Because they get angry very quickly and they never forget. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech says. V'ha-ka'as b'chek silim yanuach. Ka'as rests in the breast pocket of the fools. Every little reaction is anger. 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 You didn't do this for me. Well, anger. You didn't do this for me. Anger. And then they bear grudges all the time. Grudges just keeps on adding up. The second level, there's a toss-up between two. He's quick to anger, but quick to pacify. Or he's slow to anger, and slow to pacify. So which one's worse? I don't know. Quick to anger is very bad, but he's quick to pacify. The other guy's slow to anger, but it's very hard to pacify. So whatever he gained, he lost. Whatever this guy lost, he gained. So you have the toss-up over there. What's worse? I don't know. That's the middle. The last one is the highest. Slow to anger and quick to pacify. That's what we should try and be. Slow to anger. But listen, we all get angry sometimes, but just be quick to forgive and forget and pass. Now, the trouble is not just up to you when you lose your temper. It's not up to you if you're quick to be pacified, because the guys you lost your temper at is also going to be pacified. So I'm quick to pacify. I lose my temper, but a day later I forgot about it. But what about the people I hurt, whose feelings I hurt when I lost my temper? If they're slow to pacify, I'm also stuck. You can't just turn the page when you cause a lot of damage. You have to heal the damage. That's the trouble. People don't realize how much damage they do to the psyche of their children, or the psyche of their wife, spouse, whatever it is, when you scream and shout and go mad, berserk. I know kids who stutter. Why are they stuttering? Because they obviously they're seeing, they're traumatized by things going on in the house. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. So people are going to be very careful how they behave, especially around their children, because we think I'm just raising my voice in the kids' ears. Don't forget, whatever the kid sees and hears is magnified, like, I don't know, 10 times? I don't know. Their parents are like on a stage. They look at these giants. Look, in their eyes, we're giants. We don't really realize. We don't think about it. Your father's a giant. Your mother's a giant. They're screaming at each other. So two giants are screaming. Plus, the kids want security. They don't feel secure. I don't feel safe. My parents are screaming. My father screams like berserk. I need to call the police. He's like a madman. It's scary. It is scary. So it's very important, at least for parents, for the kids around, at least, minimum. Keep the tone down, keep it calm, keep it secure. For their sake, it's very hard. It's very, very hard. It's very hard, because today there's no kavod. Let's face facts. Even your kids go to yeshiva, they come back, They don't know what kavod is, because they're not used to kavod. There's no, this concept of kavod is lost. There's no honor anymore, honoring parents. Like when I was a kid, you're scared, you're terrified. Father, you tremble, you tremble. He gives you one look, you tremble, you hide under the table. Danger, danger. You behave, respect. He's singing a song, you don't change the tune. If he's singing, you don't change to a different song. Today, hefker. It's hefker today. People, the kids don't know how to respect. So what do you do? Get angry every time, you're going to go crazy. It'll drive you nuts. I mean, you'll go nuts, you'll go crazy. Forgive and forget, and that's it. Just hold your mouth, calm down, learn how to stay calm. And then put your place in the name of, in Hashem's place. Can you imagine? You're Hashem, the king of the world, and look what people are up to. Can you imagine if I was Hashem? I don't know what I do, but I get upset. I get afraid. Think about it. If you're the creator, and these people are messing around against your will, breaking your will, with no shame, what would you do? Don't say, huh?
Create a flood.
That's what happened. But it took a while. It took a while. It gets to a point where Hashem says, I can't take anymore. But it's not done for the sake of spite or vengeance. Hashem does it for educational purposes. It's purely educational. It's the cool touch of a surgeon, unfortunately. Sometimes you've got to take everything out with the benign tissue with a malignant tissue, unfortunately. Anyway, here we have Meiri. The Meiri says this. There was once a righteous king. The Meiri, you have the Meiri right over there, on the second shelf. The gray, the brown books over there on the second shelf down, on that top row, the second top row. The Meiri. And essentially, the Meiri was just recently found in the library of the Vatican. It was hidden. The Vatican had it. No one knew about it. Until very recently, and then they found it, and they got the microfiche, they copied the text, and they printed it. Baruch Hashem. Meiri was one of the great Rishonim, Sfari Rishonim. He quotes a lot of Rambam. He quotes his commentary on the whole Talmud, halachic commentary on the Talmud. Beautiful.
Did you say
it was Sfari? Yes. Rabbi Menachem Meiri. So he says this story. There was once a big tzaddik, a king, who had one major fault, temper. I can't imagine it. A king has a bad temper. Crazy, crazy. You can't go to see him. You can't. Lose temper, off with his head. Henry VIII, off with his head, off with his head, off with his head. Well, how many wives did he have? Six. How many wives survived? Well, the first one, he didn't want to fight the king of Spain, because that was his sister, king of Spain's sister. So he divorced her. Which wasn't allowed because he was a Catholic. So he changed his religion.
Still a war.
Yeah, but he didn't want to make a major war because if he'd have killed her, it would have been a major war. So he divorced her. He made a new religion. Can you imagine? Mm-hmm. I was in a taxi once going to New York. And the driver sees my yarmulke. I try and avoid religion with these guys. I don't get involved with religion. He's telling me, you know, I'm very happy. I'm a Protestant. I love my religion. Da, da, da. The only problem I have is who started it. Henry VIII started it because... He started Protestantism because he wanted to divorce his wife. Imagine. That's the reason for his religion. His reason for his religion was to divorce his wife. So he said, my only problem with religion is who started and why he started. I agree with you. I agree with him 100%. So anyway, so what happened to this king? To overcome this tendency, he wrote three lines down on a piece of paper. And he told his minister, when I get angry, read me these three lines. First line is, always remember you are a creature and not a creator. Always remember you are created and you're not the creator. You're not the boss. Even the king is a creature of the creator. So a person can remember all the time, we are not the creators. Even though with our kids, we are. You are the creator of your kid. Every person has three creators. Father, mother, and God. So we are creative. Expect more from your kids. You should expect more from the kids. And the kids should give you more. Just because of Hakarat HaTov. They owe you a big debt. We don't realize how much we owe our parents. We don't realize it. And when we do realize, it's too late, usually. It's tragic. So the first line is, don't forget, you are a creature, not a creator. The second line is, always remember you are flesh and blood. And eventually, you're going to go. You're not here permanently. No one's here permanently. And the final line is, you'll only get mercy if you give mercy. Hashem will show you mercy if you show mercy to us. Always be forgiving and forgetting. Show mercy. Go the extra mile to show mercy to others. Even to creatures. You have an option of killing the fly, letting the fly at the door. Let the fly at the door. Don't kill. Try not to kill it. Mm-hmm. You have an option to go over the squirrel, right? Or go around the squirrel. Go around the squirrel. Show mercy. You show mercy. Famous story, the Gemara says about Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi had a terrible toothache. For 10 years he had a toothache. The Gemara says, why do you have a toothache? He saw a sheep bleating. The sheep was being taken to the slaughter. And Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says, listen, don't bleed. Stop it. That's why you were created. He had no mercy on the sheep. He had a toothache for 10 years. So until his maidservant found some kind of creepy crawly in the house. It was a mouse or a weasel, whatever it was. And he says, don't kill it. Sweep it out. Toothache went away. Just my mercy on creatures. So how much more so a person's going to have mercy on other people? So don't. We all have this tendency, someone, you know, today you can complain about everyone. You went to the doctor, you waited 1 hour in the surgery. You go to his Facebook page, you put a, I don't know what, you know, 1 star. I waited. People do. I've seen it. Healthline, other places. Yeah. You have a choice. You give 5 star. All companies, right?
Ratings.
Everyone has ratings. So you put up there 1 star and say, I waited 1 hour in the surgery. It's true. You can do it. It's very easy.
Yeah.
It's very easy. So the question is now, are you doing it through anger? If you're doing it through anger, plus if he knows who you are, he's not going to, you know, you're not going to be a very favorite customer anymore. So if you need a doctor, don't do it. I mean, you've got to watch out. You're supposed to watch out. Try not to offend people. Try to be giving, even though sometimes people take advantage. So you tell Hashem, listen, they took advantage of me. I didn't get upset. Don't get upset with me. Mida keneged mida. Bederach shadam moded, modedim oto. The way you treat others, Hashem says, I'll treat you. If you are ma'avir amidotecha, if you are going to cross over the bridge and go the extra mile for other people, Hashem says, I'll go the extra mile for you. If you are forgiven forgetting other people, I'll forgive and forget you. It's a great tool. But it says, you know what? I forgive. There's a beautiful story. It says, this true story. Mir Yeshiva is a true story. They're all hiding in the basement. Why? Six-day war. Jerusalem was divided. Mm-hmm. And Mea Sharim is right on the side, one side of the wall. There's a barbed wire fence. They're not far from the front lines. And the Jordanians are shelling Yerushalayim. And everyone in Mir Yeshiva is terrified. They're trembling. They're in the basement trembling. Chaim Shmulevich is there. No, I won't worry if he's right there. I won't worry. Just get as close as you can to him. And then they hear this woman screaming, I forgive him, I forgive him, I forgive him. So Chaim Shmulevich says, well, who are you forgiving? I'm forgiving my husband who never gave me a get for 20 years and never gave me child support. Said, guaranteed nothing's going to happen to us. Guaranteed. And the shell landed on the roof and didn't explode. True story. He said, because this woman who forgave her husband, she's Mavir Miratav, and Hashem is Mavir Miratav. So it's a very powerful idea that even though you're right, doesn't mean you have to always take advantage of it. You're right. Given. Especially when there's no consequence. Look at marriage. Sometimes husband and wife are arguing about something stupid and has no bearing to anything, and they're arguing because of the sake of arguing. Yeah, they're arguing. So she thinks she's right, he thinks he's right, and each one wants to make a point. And what for? What does it lead to? So say, you're right, honey. She doesn't like that sometimes. It's too easy. You say, you're right. So someone says, you're right. Okay, I'm not going. I'm stepping back. It takes a lot of discipline to step back. As it says, Gadol HaShalom. Great is peace. What do you mean, great is peace? A person who's great is a person who radiates peace. Always be the first to forgive and forget. It's so hard. It takes a lifetime of struggle to get to that level where you can just be the one who gives in. To avoid the ego. If ego is a play, it's going to lead to destruction. If ego is a play, everything all destroys a person's lives. Ego destroys relationships. Ego destroys your business. Ego destroys everything. So self-control is a lifetime struggle. We'll have a time. We're constantly to improve his character. It's hard to imagine, right? He struggled, he prayed, he reflected. A disciple of his once hid under the bench in the shul. He wanted to see Chafetz Chaim, was the last one to leave the yeshiva. What's he doing when no one's around? And when midnight approached, the tzaddik appeared, opened the holy ark. Hashem, please help me to overcome anger. He's already 80s, 90s, I don't know what it was. Opens the ark, pray, Hashem, please help me. No, people don't pray to perfect their midot. We pray for money, we pray for health. What about your spiritual health? How do I pray for spiritual health? Help me, Hashem, to perfect my midot. I mean, we'll pray for them. Well, that's why they're great. That's why we're not great. Because these pray for the right things. They pray for the right things. They pray for midot. They pray for self-discipline. And we say every morning, keep us away from Yetzirah. So we're praying to God, keep us away from evil. But where do we pray for the positive? You know, help me to perfect my character traits, Hashem. But Moshe Feinstein, he's the most pleasant guy around. He's the most pleasant guy to be around. With the famous story, it says he bought one of the first Schulzinger Schuss. After the Second World War, they printed this beautiful Schuss called the Schulzinger Schuss of New York. It's very, very famous. My brother had a copy. It's a pen of very special paper, clear type. It's unusual. And he had one of the first copies, and he's sitting over there. In those days, you dip your pen in the ink. And you write, he's writing away, and his two students is talking to him, and his student knocked the ink and dirtied his brand new shas. Nothing. Didn't react at all. Didn't react. So he asked him, how can you remain so serene? I've been working on this for years, he says. He says, once he was being driven somewhere. And he was getting out of the car, and the driver closed the door on his fingers. You don't know what pain that is, a terrible pain. Didn't say a word. He didn't want the guy to hear him scream. Imagine what self-control it took to kick that eye. Thank you. Just walks away. Ah! No one heard him scream. Just total self-control. Terrible. How do you do that? And the answer is self-control. You're supposed to work on it. It's not easy. You want to scream. You want to shout. You want to get angry. Quiet. So anger is not only an individual character trait, it's a barometer of your personality. All these traits are barometers of our personality. And you can tell, a person can tell their own personality, what's going on inside. I can't tell what you have inside. I can only see what you do. Only you can tell, are you getting angry, even inside. You don't show anger. But a person inside, it's welling up inside. You feel that fire inside, burning up inside, trying to put out the fire. So the idea is not to get angry. Period. Not even inside. Why? Three things. What are the three things? I'm a creature, not a creator. What else? Let's go.
We all end up in the same place.
Number three?
I'm dust.
Oh, that's number two. Number three? Well, it's actually number three, but it's number two.
You give mercy, you'll get mercy.
You give mercy, you get mercy. Beautiful. Psh, I was going to remember all these three. Let's do it again. Number one. I am a creature, not a creator. You give mercy, you get mercy. And we're all dust. Anger is the most serious character flaw. It's Ramban says in his midah, his letter to his son, Shehi midah ra'ah le'achti b'nei adam. It's the most serious character flaw which causes a person to sin. Anger. Well, we all know the roots of anger is really pride. But it's there's different ways of expressing the pride. One of the ways of expressing pride is anger. And anger causes a person to sin, because when you get angry, you lose control. And when you lose control, you do many things which can be destructive. It's a barometer of a person's personality. That's what the Gemara says. You can see a person in three things. Eruvit Daf 65b. Bekiso, Bekoso, Bekaso. Bekiso, where he spends his money. What does he spend his money on? Tell a person by his wallet. Spend your money on yeshiva tuition, you spend your money on drinks, you spend your money on bars, who knows what you're spending money on? On Yankee games, I don't know what. Give examples. Where the money goes is who you are. Why do you drink? Why do you raise your cup? What do you raise your cup for? Or how much do you drink? Cost or anger. Why would you lose your anger? Is it for good things or bad things? And how bad is your anger? What makes you? Yeah. You can tell a person by his anger. And that's the Gemara in Shabbat. See the Gemara in Shabbat. The Gemara in Shabbat is talking about a very interesting Mishnah over here. Very strange Mishnah. One who rips his clothes on Shabbat because of his anger. Or he smashes something in his anger. He takes a plate. I had a guy like that in my shul in Vancouver. He was a manic. He was Mishuga completely. And I was a naive young rabbi, an idiot. I'm an idiot. Why? Because the wife calls me up. Call the police. Why are you calling me? She calls me. Because I was working with them. A marital counselor. I was caring about something. I'm a young, naive rabbi. The wife, I get a call at 10 o'clock at night. The wife says, he's going mad, rabbi. Please come over as soon as possible. I'm a shugged. I go. I don't. By that time, he can't. Thank God, he calmed down. Thank God, he didn't attack me. You know? But I saw the holes in the wall where he threw things. So that's the case. A person rips in his anger. Is he liable for breaking the law of Shabbat, or is he not liable for breaking the law of Shabbat?
Liable.
Why? So we have a general rule: mikalkel patur. A person who is destroying. If it's for the sake of destroying, not for the sake of creation. If I'm destroying a house in order to build, that's creation. If I'm destroying for the sake of destruction, you have these kids who just like to just destroy. They're not destroying for the sake of creating. Destroying for the sake of destruction. So mikalkel patur. You're destroying for the sake of destruction, patur. So the question now is, if I'm ripping my clothes in my anger, am I destroying or am I fixing my anger? Is it helping me, in other words? When a person is angry and they rip and they smash, are they calming down? Is it helping them? Interesting mission. You know, interesting. Interesting. So here the Gemara discusses anger. So Rabbi Huda says, that's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Huda says he's liable for tearing his garments. Why? He is satisfying his evil inclination by cooling off his anger. He is achieving some constructive purpose. He's calming himself down. It's disgusting. Come on. He's breaking and smashing in this way. Now he calms down. So that smashing is not destructive. That smashing is creative. He's calming himself down. It's purposeful. So Gemara says, is that allowed to do that? Are you allowed to smash things down? And the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Hamikareya begada b'chamato, a person tears his garments in his anger, mishaveh kelah b'chamato, and rips his utensils in his anger, or scatters his money in his anger. It's nice to be around with one who scatters money in his anger. Call me when you scatter your money. Yehei be'enech kovid avod azra. It should be in your eyes as if you worshipped idols. That's the way of the Yetzara. The evil inclination tells you. Today do this. Tomorrow do this. Until it tells you, do idolatry. First, a slippery slope. You can't control yourself with your temper. You want me to control yourself with your morality. You want me to control yourself in this. Until you get to idolatry. Amazing. So Rab Avin says, where do we learn this from? Which pasuk? Look at this pasuk he learns it from. Lo yebecha elzar. There should be no strange god in your midst. Velo tishtachaver nachar. And don't bow down to an alien god. Who is the strange god? Your temper is your evil inclination. You have a strange god in your midst and you're bowing down to a strange god. We're going to come. We have to finish this Gemara. Very interesting. There's Rosh Hashem next week. We'll finish the Gemara. It's a beautiful one. We'll stop here.